Morning. Good morning, church family. So, you see this young man back here? He kind of looks like this young man right here. I didn't say that, but he was with us at the beginning, meaning he was in our wedding. He's a dear friend, Joel. If you haven't had a chance to meet him, what a wonderful, wonderful man he is, and we love him dearly. We were talking before church, and so many things just warmed my heart and almost made my heart leap in my chest, because when you get together with one another and you have Jesus, both of you, there's something that is just so added to your relationship that you get to talk about the one that made you and loves you. And we were sharing, and I was sharing this story with Joel about the time that I knew that I was called. And it was a women's conference, and it wasn't many years after Mike and I had married, and I knew I was called before that, but it was like this solidifying within my spirit that I knew that something was getting ready to really happen. And so I remember that because I didn't need anybody else to tell me that Jesus was calling me. I didn't need anybody else to say, today's the day. My spirit, man, was so in sync with the Spirit of God that when it happened, I just knew it. Like I told Joel, it felt like I was just sinking into place, if that makes any sense whatsoever. And and I remember that there was this woman that she was the guest. She was the big keynote person, if that's what you need to call her. She was the one that was speaking. Other pastors' wives were speaking, but she was the main gal. And it was probably a few hours after, if not even the second day after, I felt that in my spirit. I was sitting like in the second row, and I'm gonna do it to you. She pointed at me and she went like this, and I went like this, like, you know, me, and she's like that. So she asked me to come up. And I remember feeling a presence behind me, and the presence was Pastor Ken coming up behind me. And she spoke over me, and she confirmed what the Spirit of God had told me hours before. He was just wanting me to know, you're not off base. You're right where you need to be. So I'm just going to tell y'all today, you're right where you need to be. You're where God called you to be today for this hour. You are in the place that He knew from the beginning of time you would be where you're at this morning. Isn't that just so amazing? Like, it is so powerful. And so I just want us all to recognize what a special day today is. What a powerful day today is. We may be few in numbers. There may not be a lot of people, or some may be coming in. But today, you get to hear this word, not from my mouth, from the Spirit of God speaking to your spirit. Today's the day. There's a sinking in. There's a powerful call on your life to do something powerful for Him. It may not be a pastor like Pastor Mike. It may not be a teacher. It may not be anything that anybody's even thought of. But God has thought of it for you from the beginning of time. That is so exciting. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to go before the Lord in prayer. We're going to just tell Him how wonderful He is, and how powerful He is in our lives, and how great and mighty He is. Does He already know those things? Yes, He does. But to hear it from the beloved's mouth makes
it oh so special. Will you join me in telling him, Lord, you are wonderful and great and powerful and mighty in each one of our lives. And Father, this service you have ordained from the beginning of time, that each one of us would hear powerful words of God, that each one of us would know that you are within us and you have called us to do something that no one else can do. No one else. So we just lift our voices saying, you are wonderful. You are worthy. You are powerful. You are precious. You give us peace, and we thank you for that, Jesus. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we worship you today. We worship you. You are glory. We worship you, our gracious and holy God. We worship you. In the name of Jesus, we worship you, Lord. Amen and amen and amen.
remove all my tension. I will linger, listen. I can't miss a thing. Cause Lord, I know my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new. So I surrender all. Cause all I want is to live within your love. Being done by who you are. My desire is to know you deeper. Lord, I will open up again. Throw my fears into the wind. I am desperate for a touch of heaven. Ooh, 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 ooh. Fire in the morning, you're the cool in the evening, the breath in my soul, or the life in my bones. There's no hesitation in your love and affection, sweetest of all.
I open up my heart to you.
to live within your heart, being done by who you are. My desire is to know you.
This morning, I'm just going to ask you to be brave and just lift your hands before Him and say, I need a touch from heaven this morning, God. I need it, Jesus. I'm desperate for a touch from heaven, desperate for more of you.
more of you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you're here. Your loves are here, Jesus. Some have aching hearts that just need a touch from heaven. So, Jesus, will you touch them? You want to, and I just pray they're open to it, God. I'm going to ask if you're brave enough to step out and come up this way for a touch from heaven. I just sense and feel the power of God just so gentle and wonderful right here. So if you would come up and just receive. Don't come with any kind of agenda. Just be an open spout of ready for his touch, ready for his power to just fill you, ready with his love to just fill you. Jesus, just fill these hearts, God. Fill, Jesus, pour into them, God, this morning. Oh, Jesus, your touch is powerful yet gentle, loving and kind.
Fresh fire.
Just more.
Fresh fire.
Fresh.
Fresh fire.
Yes, Jesus.
gentle, monumental day for these lives that have been filled and loved by you, God. Let them know how powerful today is. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your move and for your love and for your glory. We worship you. You are worthy, God. You are worthy. You are worthy, God. Y'all, I see this bucket. It's not an old bucket where it was made of slats and metal rings around the top and the bottom. This is a bucket that there's no way anything can get in or get out unless it's poured. And God has poured it from a spirit full. And now it's tipping. And in it is warm honey. Warm healing balm. Just stand under it, y'all. Stand under that stream. Receive wholeness for your life. Receive healing for the cracks of the world that has come against you. Receive this morning. That's the word, receive. You don't have to do anything for it. Just receive it. Just receive it. Even though we're going to go back to our seats, just in your spirit, stay here. If any of you all know honey that's been poured in something, it takes a long time to get out of there, and it's still pouring. Just receive it. Just receive it. Amen.
Good morning. Hi, guys. So before I go into announcements, I'm going to challenge you guys. Like, we're kind of a small group, so I'd like to see if you guys are willing and want something new and fresh from the Lord today to do something new and fresh by, if you'd be so brave, to just come up and all sit together, maybe nobody beyond the first two rows. And if you want to take it even a step further, opposite of what you normally sit. It just is going to do something to you. It's just going to allow you to be a little bit more open and vulnerable to the Lord as the word is being spoken. You don't have to. It's just something that I like to challenge my youth to do sometimes. I like to bring people into a place of vulnerability with the Lord by doing something different than what we're, than the mundane, like, this is where I sit, this is what I do. We get comfortable. When we're uncomfortable, the Lord's able to move in a little bit different way. So, amen, right? You guys are so wonderful. Okay, so now we're going to go into the heart of the house declarations, you guys. Some of you guys have been with us for a long time. You know declarations are just a big part of who we are because we believe in speaking out in faith. So we're big believers in having the power of life and death in your tongue. And when we do declarations, we're not only speaking life into things unseen, but we're declaring that these things are going to be seen in His timing, right? Amen. But we're going to stand in that gap and have faith for these things to happen. So if you guys will stand with me, stand therefore, and stand again, we're going to go ahead and do the Heart of the House declaration in cadence on the count of three. One, two, three. I declare
that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel. Life for the Lord. God is working in our
life at a time. Yes, God, I thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in this house and in our city, God. Yes. Father, I pray that you would continue just to stoke the fires within us, God, causing us to be ablaze and catching fire on others around us in Jesus' name. Lord, that you would do a mighty work in the families that are here today, God, that their finances would begin to be blessed in a different way, Father, that their mindsets, God, would be renewed and that their spirits would just be refreshed right now in the name of Jesus. God, that you would rest on this place in a tangible, different, mighty way today, God. We thank you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. So we only have one announcement. It's men's breakfast. Not this upcoming Saturday, but the following Saturday. Probably the last year or so, I don't really remember when we launched it, about a year, just started gathering on, monthly and just getting guys together and eating and fellowshipping and having a word spoken over us. And so mark your calendar for, is that the 14th? Is that what that date falls on? It is the 14th. Yep, at 8:30, we'll meet here downstairs. All men are invited. All young men are invited. I make sure to let our youth guys know. And so, it's a great time. And then the last is thank you guys for giving. You could give online at onelifefamilyworship.com. And then we have a hope chest here, as Gay likes to call it. Then we have a box in the back as well. And we just thank you guys for giving to the house. Pastor?
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I know Nancy left, but she gave such a great word last week. And one of the key thoughts that I picked up on was that Jesus was resetting the standard. And, and has reset the standard. But I believe that he's also kind of resetting the standard in us as believers these days. Getting us away from the idea so much that we have to perform and function a certain way to be loved and to love others. I know that for me, a lot of times reaching the lost, reaching individuals that need Christ was something that I knew I had to do. And so I would, try to do it from that heart. And unfortunately, the Bible says when we do things not motivated by love, that they're not worth anything. That doesn't mean that people don't get touched, but the problem is I'm not receiving what I could be receiving from Christ if I was activated in love. And so I encourage everything that I share here today, not to let it become something that you go and you do because you heard me say it, you go and do it because you're motivated by love. And the best way to be motivated by love is, first of all, receive the love of God. If you can receive His love where you don't think that you have to earn it or deserve it or accomplish something in your life so that finally God loves you. If you can just receive God's love because He is love. I was telling somebody today, He is love. He can't help but love us. I mean, He demonstrated His love, His crazy radical love, that He put His Son on the cross. He put His Son on the cross, whom He loved dearly, who was part of Him. He put Him on the cross so that He could say, I'm demonstrating my love to all the world. And it says then that even while we were still sinners, Christ loved us. And I've said it many times, but I'll say it again. I think it's always worth reminding us that Christ did not die for your best day. He died for your worst day, whether it's past, present, or future. He died for that day. And he's always available for us to receive that love in our lives anew. So with that said, Lord, I just pray that today, God, your word would come alive. Lord, in our hearts, Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth. And we believe that your word cannot come back void. Your word cannot come back empty-handed, that it will return with what you've sent it to do. So, Lord, I pray today that as I share, Lord, this powerful word that is truth that you've given us as the body of Christ, that you would allow our hearts to receive it, and Holy Spirit, that you would instruct us, each and every one of us, how we are to apply this in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So last message in this series was called The Lost One. And I'm not going to go over the whole message again, but I just want us to realize this fact. From John 6, 11, 12, it says, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, and as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, 'Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost.'" I believe that God's desire is that none would be lost. God's desire is that all would come to repentance. It says that the Father doesn't want any to perish. And I believe Jesus doesn't want any to perish. And I believe the Holy Spirit doesn't want anybody to perish. But he wants us all to come to repentance. And what does that mean? That means we change our minds. We change our lives. We go and follow God. That's what happened to me when I got saved. No one had me, pray the sinner's prayer, but Jesus kind of walked by me and said, "Hey, follow me," just like he did to Matthew, and I started following him, and I followed him to where I'm standing in this place today. Now, have I prayed the prayer since? Yeah, because someone made me feel guilty that if I didn't pray the prayer, I wasn't saved, but that wasn't the truth. I saw the one that had life, and I started following him, and he led me along of how to receive that life. But he had them gather up all the fragments that remained. I don't think he just did that because he just didn't want to leave a piece of bread. I think he was proving a point. He didn't want to lose any, and that's the way that John communicates. He didn't want any lost, nothing lost. So today, I want to not turn it from the lost one to lost ones. And if you look at this picture, it's pretty compelling. All of these individuals holding hands, they're blindfolded. They can't see where they're going. And what they're being led to is destruction. And that's what I was being led to before I found Christ. I was being led to destruction. The enemy of my soul had blinded my eyes, had I think deafened my ears, had hardened my heart, that even when people shared the gospel with me when I was younger, it was like wah 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 wah. And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And I thought, I see Jesus on TV and it's like, "Oh," I just thought he was like, Zeus, or he was like, Hercules or something like that. I thought he was just a myth. But the day that Jesus and the Holy Spirit grabbed my heart and took away the scale and the veil and unplugged my ears and softened my heart and prepared me to receive the engrafted word of God, then life came to me. So I was dead in my trespasses, dead in my sins, and I came alive. I was one of those lost ones. And because of someone's care for me, someone's ability to communicate, that if I didn't make the right choice, that I chose to live on my own works, which I wasn't even saved, but, I always thought I didn't kill anybody. I didn't rob a bank, I had all these things that I didn't do, so I must be, good enough. I always kind of knew there was a God, it's like, I never, I went to biology high school and, they talked about, the apes and all that stuff, and nothing made sense to me. It's like, it was clear as day. It's like, okay, this doesn't add up, but I always knew that there was a God. And I was one of those lost ones that I was lost and I got found. But it took someone else in my life to help me get that place. Not that God couldn't reach me. I've heard stories of people who are just doing their own thing. They're listening to some music. I have a dear friend. He was just listening to rock music, actually acid rock music, one night. And, you know, he had been interacting with people and stuff. So he, you know, he'd been hearing. So his heart was kind of being prepared. But that whole night, through different songs as he was listening to them, not the same album, but different points, all of a sudden, truth started coming to him in rock acid music. And by the end of the night, he was on his knees asking God to forgive him. And he was saved. And he's radically saved to this day. Praise God. So let me share a verse here. This is like, or two verses. This is like the great commission that has been given to the church. Some of your Bible titles, we'll call it the Great Commission. And it's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, this is after he rose from the dead. This is after he had defeated death, hell, and the grave. And now he's telling them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. That's a pretty big goal, you know. Later on in Acts 1, he gives them kind of the process, you know, they're to start in Jerusalem, Judea, you know, Samaria, and then to the other parts of the earth. They weren't just to go the next day to all the nations. They were to start in their home. And that's always the way it should be for us. We should always start with our work of faith in our own home, with our own family, with our own lives. But go therefore and make disciples of all nations, then talking about how to baptize them, then also teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That's really what winning people is about. It's not just, you know, giving somebody a gospel message and, you know, and then they hear it and then they just go on their way. It's about giving somebody an opportunity to hear the gospel and then also help instruct them if they stay connected with you in their lives. Mark 16:15 says this, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I heard the story one time that Billy Graham heard this and he knew he was called to preach, but he didn't have opportunity. He wasn't like, you know, in a position where he could. So he went out and he got in front of the cows. He got his pulpit. He got his Bible out and he started preaching in front of the cows, because it said to every creature. So he said that qualifies. And so that's how he, you know, so to speak, got started in preaching to large crowds. It was cows.
How many cows have seen heaven?
Yeah, exactly. There's some saved cows out there. Then if we go to Acts, we see this is the first, I guess you could say, start of the commission that Jesus gave them. They were probably, when he spoke to them, somewhere between 20 and 30 days, possibly maybe a little closer, out from this day called Pentecost. And this was Pentecost Sunday. We celebrate it now. It's not always on a Sunday if you go by the true Hebrew calendar, but I'm not going to get into that right now. But Acts 2:38 and 41, Peter, after he'd preached quite a message, because there was quite a commotion that was going on in this upper room, and people were saying, oh, they're all drunk, and they're all just going crazy up there. And Peter stands up, listen, we're not drunk. It's only like the 9 a.m. in the morning, so we're not drunk. We've been filled with the Spirit as was promised in the book of Joel. So he goes on to tell them about Jesus. And then, you know, they ask this question, what must we do to be saved? Because you just told us a whole bunch that we weren't aware of. You know, we crucified, we were yelling just a few weeks ago, you know, crucify him, crucify him. We didn't receive the Lord of glory. We didn't receive Christ when he came in. We crucified him, as the Pharisees and Sadducees were yelling. We joined in with them. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them, added to the church. That was the start of the church. That was the start of the Great Commission. It was at Pentecost Sunday when the Holy Spirit came. And so a lot of us think, you know, well, we need another Pentecostal move, or we need another revival, you know, so that we can see this start to happen again. Well, I'm here to tell you that the Spirit of God on that day was sent to all mankind. All mankind. That's what it says. All mankind. It didn't distinguish between Christian. It was the Holy Spirit was available to all mankind. And the Holy Spirit is poured out in the fullness for all mankind. It's not like, now, are there other moves of the Spirit? I believe that's because we realize how much we need Him. And the Spirit that was in us lives in us and comes alive in us. And we see revival. It's because we get to the place where we let the Spirit work in us. It's not that I truly believe that God's up there saying, I've given you everything you need. I've given you my Son. I've given you my Spirit. I've given you my Word. I've given you instructions and guidance. And now it's up to you, children. It's up to us. I know we'd like to say, well, you know, if just God just moved, we would change. No, if we would just have our hearts touched, if we would open up our hearts, if we would open up our eyes and see the condition of the world, I think we would change. With that said, I'm going to share a little story. I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish the message, but what happened was is that we were at what was called a retreat for pastors. We weren't a pastor at that time. I think we had only been married maybe 4 years or something like that. It was like, it was around 2000 or something like that. And we were at one of the breakout sessions. It was over in Cannon Beach. And a pastor named Bill Sanders was sharing. And he has been a soul winner his whole life. I mean, and he has stories of people that, you know, would come to buy, you know, to buy their wood, or they were buying wood from him, or he was sharpening. He was kind of, you know, a kind of like a country guy. So, I mean, you know, he had lots of connections with people who needed, you know, farming things. But he would always make opportunity to share Christ with them. And I believe this because, you know, he had like the gift of an evangelist. If you know him, you talk to other people. But what happened was, is that he then, after, in his message was, you know, just basic. He gave some testimonies, and it was, you know, I was like, oh, wow, you know, I'm taking notes, you know. And again, keep in mind, I'm working full time, and I had gotten time off to come here. I think we might have just been started like elders for Pastor Ken. I can't remember, but what ends up happening is then he just kind of opens it up at the end and just says, you know, if anybody, you know, just wants some prayer to be a better soul winner. And, you know, I thought, well, it sounds good to me. So I went up, and all of a sudden, I don't think he laid hands on me. I think I just, all of a sudden, I fell to my knees. And I'm sure people, Pastor Ken and Sharon, and I can't remember who else was there at the time. It may have been around 2004 or something. I'm not sure. I started wailing, like this wail that was coming up deep inside of me. It was like not for like just once. It was like, ah, and it was like this wail that just was like coming from the depths of me. And to this day, I can't tell you exactly what it was, but I think it was another continuation in this work that God was doing in me for the lost ones. That he was trying to make it so that inside of me was something coming alive that would make me able to say, yes, Lord, whatever you want. And that's because I'm something great. Obviously, it doesn't look like, you know, pastoral wise, I'm something great, but I'm not looking at the things that are seen. I'm looking at the things that are unseen. I'm not looking at the things that I can count with my natural mind or my eyes. I'm looking at what heaven says, and heaven says that God never stops working. Heaven says that when we don't see him, he's working. That's why I always say when people come to a meeting and they go away, say, well, I didn't feel anything. That doesn't matter if you felt something or not. God is still working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Because he loves you. But he is working in me. And do you remember that, babe?
I do. Yeah. I had stepped out of the room and I came back in and I heard this. It was almost like howling.
Yeah.
And Lori and Lynette were leading worship. And I can't find you. And I'm like, where's Mike? And Lori's like coming down to the floor. And I said, that's Mike. And she's like, in front of everybody, you know. And it just was so, it was so coming guttural from the depth of who you are.
Like, yeah.
It was a sound I had only heard one other time, and that was when Stephen came in and you told him that our Aaron had died. And Stephen made that guttural howling sound. That's what it sounded like. You were in mourning for who were being lost and not hearing about Jesus. It was so deep.
Right. I say that to say this, is that it's not just for me. It's for all of us to realize that there is a pain in the Father's heart when people don't receive him. And I believe it's significant. Yes, he loves us and he's happy about us. But, you know, as we talked about this message, he leaves the 99, which is us, to go after the one. Why? Because the one is the one that he's focused on right then. $3,000 were added that day. I bet it was the biggest party that heaven had ever had up to that point. It says that when one person comes to Christ, what did it say? Heaven rejoices. 3,000 for the first time came to Christ. That's the first time it happened. Do you guys realize that? That's the first time that heaven saw 3,000 souls saved in one day. What a party happened. I bet they had to calm them down. Okay, we get back to work.
Yeah.
That was an event that took place that had never happened before. Up to this point, you know, 120 probably so were starting to follow Christ. But this was the day the Holy Spirit filled those souls. And the church was born. That we are part of. That we have that same power in us now to preach the gospel, to share the good news, to live lives that represent a changed life. 2 Corinthians says this, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." I love this. All things are of God and has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? We were once strangers. We were once enemies of God, some people say, because of our, it says in Ephesians 4, because of the state of our mind, we were thinking we are enemies of God. God never told us we were his enemy. He always said, no, my son died for you when you were in this state. You're thinking you're an enemy in your mind because of your behavior, but I'm telling you, I love you. But he's given us this ministry of saying, no, God loves you. He's restored you because of the work of the cross that Jesus did. This is a ministry of reconciliation we have been given. I believe that day I'm groaning, I'm howling, whatever Gay said I was doing, I don't remember. It was something I couldn't control. I don't know how long I did it, probably 10 minutes. It seemed like it was a long time. They had already started eating lunch and everything when I came down. And I mean, people are like, look at me like, whoa, that was like, you know, because the room continued to clear out. But I mean, you know, I was just there. I think God was stirring up that ministry of reconciliation in me. He was reminding me of who I was and who Jesus is in me.
So
it wasn't just so I could be saved and go to heaven someday. It was so that, you know, we get back to this picture, that we can come and grab these folks right here and we can take them by the hand and we can say, no, come this way. I know you can't see, but I'm telling you, there's danger ahead. There's destruction ahead if you keep going this way. And we grab them by the hand and we say, follow me. I don't know exactly where I'm going, but I know I'm not going that way. That's the ministry of reconciliation. We're saying, you know, this is going to destruction. I'm going to take you to life, and the Father is waiting for you. His Son has prepared a place for you. His love is there for you. Amen. Then it says, that is that God was in Christ. I love this. God was in Christ. So many people think that Jesus was just on the cross. It was just Jesus. The Holy Spirit was. So, no, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. This was a work of the entire Godhead. Yes, Jesus was, and the Christ was the physical manifestation, but the Father and the Holy Spirit were still part of that sacrifice. Not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And what is the word of reconciliation? Jesus died for you. Jesus forgives you. God forgives you. You have new life. You have a new start at life. And that's what I received. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Now you can say, well, this is just Paul. You know, someone could get really technical and say, Paul's saying us, and he's meaning, you know, the minister. I'm going to show you here in a minute that we're encouraged to be like Paul, to follow the same lifestyle that Paul followed, except for the chains, he said. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? It's a full representative of the country that are behind them. An ambassador represents a nation or represents a city or represents, you know, some type of governmental force. We are representatives of God's government. You know, Jesus was so bold that he told his disciples, because they were representative of God's government, whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. Whoa. Hello? Whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Whoever sins you retain, they're retained. That's in John. He's telling them, you guys are my representatives. That's why when we represent him poorly, they don't always just look at us. They look at God and say, I don't want anything to do with God. I want nothing to do with that Christianity stuff because it's fake or it's whatever. They fill in the blanks. And then he tells them, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, because it's available. 1 Corinthians, I told you, 4:16-17. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. This is Paul again. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So if Paul has the ministry of reconciliation, and the word of reconciliation, and it's as if God is pleading to people through him, same for us. You're not off the hook. Maybe that's what God was doing that day. Yeah, Mike, you see, Bill Sanders, you think he's got the ministry of an evangelist and, you know, all that. And, you know, so you just say, you know, you'll do what? No, God said, you have a heart for the lost. And I can't tell you the next day that I was like winning thousands of souls. But he was at work in me. He's at work in me. For all I know, that day prepared me to be a pastor. Because before that, I did not want to be a full-time pastor. I saw what it was like, and I did not want that. But he said, no, son, I'm working in you. Don't say no to my will. Be prepared for whatever I have for you. Then here we go. How about this? This goes along with Nancy's message last week. Her message was the same kind of message. She was telling us that we need to live a life that's been reset. That when we interact and exchange lives with people and they interact with us, that they see a different life. It's not the same as the world. Hopefully, we're different. We're peculiar. But we're also demonstrating love, hopefully. You know, when she was talking about going that extra mile, you know, if someone says, walk with me a mile, in the latest or the last season of The Chosen, hopefully there's no spoilers, but anyway, the guards, the soldiers, there's a whole platoon or however many there are, and they ask Jesus and his disciples to carry their stuff for 1 mile. And they were right at the crossroads where they were getting ready to go where they were going to go. Oh, man. So they were carrying, and I mean, the women were carrying in his group and everything, and they're like all weighted down and everything. And they know that they're, because there's mile marker, they know that they're about at the end. They're, oh, this is fantastic. And Jesus said, we're going the next mile. His disciples and everybody's like, what? We're going the next mile. We just did what we were told to do. And Jesus was showing the soldiers, well, we're not just doing this just to because you asked us. Now we're going to show you, we're going to do this because we want to show the love of God. And so they start carrying. And I mean, these soldiers, after about half 20 steps, they're starting to feel bad. They're starting to grab things off people who've been struggling. And and all of a sudden their faces, their countenance change, and they see these people differently. Because they're demonstrating another kingdom. They're demonstrating another way of living. They're living as Christ wanted them. This is before the cross. This is just Jesus showing them how to live. It was a fantastic moment. So you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In Romans 1 and 2, it talks about a group of people who are living not this kind of life, and people are blaspheming God because of their behavior. So I have a question for you. Would you rather have people blaspheme God because of your behavior or glorify God? All of us want him to glorify, right? All of us want him to be glorified. But our behavior, because of we're representatives, because we're ambassadors, have to follow who we are. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and just change your behavior overnight and just all of a sudden be different, you know, and start following a bunch of rules. I'm talking about letting God come in and rearrange your furniture. Change your way of thinking. Renew your mind. And then guess what? You'll be able to live out those things, not out of duty, but out of love. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. 1 Corinthians 9:19. Then he goes on to say, I was for those who were under the law, I became as those who weren't as those under the law, and as those who weren't under the law, as those who weren't under the law. So basically he's telling them, you know, for those who are Jews, I became as a Jew, and those who are Greeks, I became as a Greek, but he used different language. But then he says this in 22, to the weak, I became as weak that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. What Paul is saying is I am doing whatever is necessary in my life to help reach people. I'm going out of my way to maybe make it so that I'm making myself available to someone. That maybe I'm making it so that I'm not as, I can't think of the word. Anyway, in other words, I had plans and I'm not able to fulfill my plans because I'm going to go out of my way and make sure that this person knows that God loves them. Inconvenienced, that's the word. Think of just for a moment, just close your eyes for a moment. I want you to just grasp a little bit about what's going on with this second that we're in right now. This is less than a breath of time because it says our whole life is a breath. Do you think you being inconvenienced for a fraction of a breath that might reach somebody for eternity? I mean, just think about eternity for a moment and your mind will want to split because we can't fathom it. These natural minds can't hardly fathom it. But I'm telling you, life is short. And if we, God gives us opportunities to reach a life, we need to take it with all of our hearts. 1 Corinthians 10:31 through 33. And verse 11, I mean, chapter 11, verse 1. This is, every now and then you'll find a verse or a couple of verses that should have gone back to the last chapter. And almost every commentator says the same thing about this verse. It only makes sense. When you read it in chapter 1, you go, what do you mean imitate me? It's like, because he's saying this. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whether you do whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I think I preached a message on this before. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Who? Whosoever he's interacting with. His goal is to make sure that his behavior lines up with Christ's desire for those lives. Now, sometimes we know that Paul challenged people. Sometimes, you know, he was probably there washing someone's feet, whatever it took. And then he says in verse 1 of the next chapter, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Jesus was the supreme example of caring for others. He is the example. He is the good shepherd who left the 99 to go for the one. And guess what? At one point, you were one of the ones. Yeah. If you haven't received Christ now, right now, you are one of the ones that he's going after. But he is saying to us now, through the teachings of Paul and through the admonition of the Great Commission, now I want you to go after the ones, the lost ones, the ones at your work, the ones at your school, the ones in your family. I'm not talking about going and making them feel guilty and, you know, and putting a big, you know, fear trip on them. I'm talking about loving them. Sometimes they're gonna, you know, ask you questions and you'll have to tell them the truth, you know, that if they don't receive Christ, that there's they're choosing not to receive him. And God's hands are tied. I've heard so many people, oh, God's sending people to hell. No, God's letting people go to hell. It's their choice. I mean, he would have it that none would perish. What does that tell you? He's not excited that they're choosing to not receive him and his son. And Jesus made it simple. He says, listen, if you believe on me, you're going to be saved. You don't have to have all the church doctrines and everything all figured out. You don't have to know, you know, what's what in the kingdom of God. Just believe on him like I did. Oh, this is the way I don't go to hell? That's what someone told me. Okay, I'm going to start following him then. And I followed him to the place I'm standing here right now. And so I just want us to realize that when we walk down the street, sometimes I'll do this. Sometimes I'll just take a moment and I'll start looking at people. I'll say, how many here are like I was, who had no clue? Who were just caught up so much in the heaviness and the torture of life. Because before Christ, my life was heavy and tortured. Now, I wasn't like, you know, in, you know, some third world country where I barely could eat or anything like that. I had most of my needs met, but my heart was just crushed and terrified and horrid. I mean, I hardly wanted to, you know, think about life because it was so overwhelming. I was one of those lost ones, and I was headed toward destruction. And you were once too. So, I don't necessarily want people to come up here and wail. But I want you to realize that God has called you for such a time as this. You were chosen, as it says in Acts 17, to live in these days. that your borders were established by God. You're living in the United States, established by God. You're living in the Yakima Valley, established by God. You're living and you're moving and you're having your being in this day because he chose you to be here. And he chose us to be here for a purpose. Not just to get saved, but to also be conveyors and communicators and ambassadors for the kingdom of God. So that others who are in that boat right now as lost ones will eventually have someone walk up to them and say, hey, let me show you another way. Let me show you the way, as it was once called. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, that first of all, you saved me. Your grace came and your mercy forgave. And you gave me life when I did not have life. You took me out of darkness and brought me into the sun of your love. So Lord, I pray right now that I would not take that for granted just for myself and say, well, I'm good. But that I realize, Lord, that there's still others out there. As you did that day, started a work in me that told me that it's not just about my life, but it's about others' lives. Lord, I pray that all of us would live lives, Lord, that we reflect your character and nature. It says that through the precious promises of God, we get the divine nature of Christ. Lord, as was shared last week, we have your love. We have your joy. We have your peace. We have your patience. We have your kindness. We have your goodness. We have your faithfulness, Lord. We have your gentleness. And Lord, we have your self-control. We have the Holy Spirit. So Lord, let those fruits and fruit that's in us come alive. That people, when they see us, they recognize a different life. And they glorify you. And because of it, their lives is touched a little bit more. And hunger a little bit more for the things of God. I just bless each and every heart and every life that's hearing this. That they would realize that they have been fully equipped with every good tool and work to accomplish your plans for their lives. And that includes reaching others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Coming up to me. There's no shame.
reckless love of God and find some lost ones. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, lead you, show you individuals who need what you have. Amen. Amen. God bless. Love you.